My name is Lucy Jadow.
Healthy Minds Alliance is an innovative AmeriCorps program managed by Health 360 that engages AmeriCorps members of all ages and backgrounds to meet critical mental health needs in communities served by their host sites. AmeriCorps members serving with the Healthy Minds Alliance receive a stipend during their 10-month service term, and upon completion of their service term, receive an education award which can be used to repay qualified student loans and to pay current educational expenses at eligible institutions of higher education and training programs. If you're interested in becoming an AmeriCorps member or would like information on how your organization could become a host site, please see our show notes for information on how to apply.
Welcome, current, former, future AmeriCorps service members. My name is Michael, and I will be your host for today's Healthy Minds Alliance podcast. And I'm also a currently serving AmeriCorps member. Joining me today is Lucy Jadow, an HMA AmeriCorps service member who is in our newest role, the public health track. Lucy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Michael. I'm happy to be here.
I'm excited to get to talk to you for a variety of reasons, one of which is, as I mentioned, you are the first person I've got to speak to that's in that new track, pretty new to the organization as a whole. So I've got a lot of questions about that, but we're going to start, as we always do, just tell us a little bit about yourself. You're talking to the internet of strangers, so feel free to share as little or as much as you want. But tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Okay, great. Well, as I said, my name is Lucy. I am a human being on the planet Earth. I'm currently based in Connecticut, and that is where I grew up. Small town, middle of the wilderness. And I recently graduated from undergrad, from college, and I am in the mental health field, very passionate about mental health and kind of supporting the emotional needs of my community, and very happy to be serving this term with AmeriCorps and kind of spending this year between undergrad and grad school serving.
That is great. Nice to know that you're all on Earth, as am I. I'm also in a rural place. I'm in Southeast Kentucky. I was born and raised here. Then I moved away for college and getting married and all that kind of good stuff. And then we just recently moved back. So I'm back in the backwoods of Eastern Kentucky.
Very nice.
Now, I believe you're actually serving, though, remotely. So the call center that you're attached to is in Tennessee, right?
Yeah, closer to you. It is in Nashville. It's based in Nashville, Tennessee. And then I serve entirely remotely.
Okay. So I guess we'll... I asked that question, but we'll take a step back. So the public health track, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, because I often am, that is the track that is basically, it can be remote. It doesn't have to be. If you happen to live in Nashville, you could easily work at the building. But pretty much your entire service term revolves around crisis call centers. Like, that's what you're doing for your term, is you're logging in and accepting calls, texts, emails from people who are in a crisis and they're looking for support. Is that correct?
Indeed. Yes. Yes. I serve for 988, which is the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. And they have a chat service, text service, as well as call services. And through AmeriCorps, as an AmeriCorps member, I'm only on the chat and text side of things.
I really enjoy the training that I have got to do through AmeriCorps. Again, I'm also very passionate about mental health. I don't know that I could do that. Like, I don't know that I could. So I wonder, like, have you had specific, obviously you have a degree, but did the call center give you training? Like, what kind of training does it look like before you're ready to go out and actually be on the line helping people?
Yeah, that's a great question. We did have 1 week, 40 hours of required training before we were ever placed on the line. And that was straight from my host site, Centerstone. And then a lot more training has rolled out throughout the service term, which has been really awesome. It's come straight down from 988 themselves, exceedingly thorough, great training. And personally, I actually had 10 weeks of intensive training on a different hotline. And okay. That was just a glorious preparation period for me. It really prepared me for this position as well.
So, and again, I do imagine, like, when you're in the middle of doing that, if you begin to feel like maybe you are not prepared or capable of helping that person, is there a way to bring in another person, like a warm handoff to another, maybe a supervisor sort of situation?
Yeah, so we do have a 24/7 on-call clinical support team, and they are really critical. in just supporting us crisis specialists in this position, because it is really challenging and we are all pretty new to the field. So they are a team of people who are just available at all times to reach out to if we need any support in making quick decisions in the moment, or even just debriefing about a difficult chat or something of the sort.
You know, we've had the opportunity to talk recently a lot about self-care, which I imagine is also something very important for your role. And the reason I ask those questions specifically is we hope that people who find this podcast at some point in time, hello, listener, may look at AmeriCorps as a way to do service, you know, for themselves, for the communities, and HMA specifically, Health 360 specifically, and maybe even this role specifically. So I ask those questions a way to make sure anyone listening knows that they would receive training and there would be guidance to them and there would be support there. You know, I somewhat said facetiously, I don't think I could do it. Probably not that right this second I couldn't do it, but I'm sure once I got the training and got support, I would be able to do it. So is there anything about your host site that you just want to speak on, like their overall mission?
Centerstone, they have, so it's a mental health system that provides mental health and substance use disorder treatments and services. And they have a few centers all across the country. And mine specifically is in Nashville, Tennessee. And their mission is delivering care that changes people's lives. And so they have a lot going on there at Centerstone. And I am just a part of the crisis team that works with 988 directly. So I'm not super connected with the rest of Centerstone. However, my team and my team leaders, they are really wonderful. And I think 988 is a pretty new 3-digit number to begin with. So there's a lot of things to kind of iron out, but they've been really adaptable and kind of building on everything, training and the way that they're running things on like a daily, weekly basis as things kind of change in the crisis world. So they're really awesome. Just the whole crisis team at Centerstone. Cool folks.
Excellent. So I guess I want to ask you, so when you go into the Healthy Minds Alliance program, there are, again, there's multiple tracks now. I think this is our third one. Did you specifically look for that track, or were you kind of filtered there because of your previous experience, or how did that process look?
Yeah, so I certainly had hotline work on the mind. As I said, I was training for another hotline and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do in between undergrad and grad school. I knew that I wanted to do something and take some time to work in the field. And I was actually attending a local mental health first aid training course when I met someone who was facilitating the course who was a current Healthy Minds Alliance member. We got to chatting and she kind of recognized that this might be something I'd be interested in. And she gave me the whole rundown as well as the position description. And it was just so well suited to exactly what I was looking to do. So it felt like everything was kind of aligning at that moment, but certainly it was the whole 988 and this program that really drew me to it.
Just before we started recording, we chatted just for a moment. You've been in the program about 8 months. They're usually 10 months long, so you're well into your service term. And you said you were between undergrad and graduate, so will you be serving another term, or are you about to go into grad school when this is over?
That's a good question. So I don't have the firmest of plans right now. I am really interested in doing a little bit of travel in addition to some work before I head back into school. So hopefully we'll do some sort of a backpacking extravaganza, but we'll see how that turns out. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, best of luck with those plans wherever the world takes you.
Thank you.
So like I serve at a school, so that's kind of like how it works. I must support staff in a school in addition to doing the youth mental health first aid training that I do. So what does a normal work week look like for you? Again, you're volunteering. Technically, you're not at work, you're a volunteer. But what does it look like? Are you clocking in? Is it 9 to 5? Is it when you want? How does your hours break out? That kind of thing.
Right. So what's cool about this specific program and being an AmeriCorps member at Centerstone, which is my host site, is that I really have so much flexibility when it comes to my schedule. So we are a 24-hour service, which means that, you know, I could serve any hours of the day, even you know, any day of the week. So I could serve weekends, I could serve overnights. I typically do serve these days the 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. And for me, that looks like logging into my computer that Centerstone has given me. And there I have the platform that 988 operates out of. And I'm on the line all day for 8 hours.
So, you know, and obviously confidentiality, I would never want you to share stories you wouldn't feel comfortable. But I am curious if you could say after 8 months, is there a theme to the types of chats that you get? Or is there a certain, are people calling specifically for a type of reason? I'm asking this question really weird. I'm sorry. I guess, but hopefully you kind of get what I'm saying. Like, is it someone who's just looking for support because they are feeling a certain way? Is it truly crisis? Someone's about to harm themselves or someone else and they're looking for that support. Is there any sort of like regularity to the types of calls or chats that you're dealing with?
Well, that's a good question. And it's not so easy to answer because, I mean, we have a lot of variety. So on the one hand, there's so much variety and you really don't know what you're going to get. We do deal in crisis pretty much every single day. And that's a real reality. You know, we deal with police and emergency services and things like that. But there are certain themes. I think because I serve on the chat and text side of things, I get a lot of kids. So that's a big theme, children. And all the things that kind of come with being a child and navigating the world. And another theme in general for people in crisis is just loneliness and isolation, feeling, unsupported. And we're really that point of support in a safe space for them.
So I imagine that once you've had an interaction with someone, hopefully it goes well, hopefully they feel supported and connected. But is there a process of getting them further help? Like, I assume it's not just a, okay, bye, but there is a handoff to some other sort of support system. How would that look if you have someone who's just, like I said, just lonely, they don't feel connected? How does that call sort of end for you?
Yeah, that's a good question because we do work in the short term. That's kind of what crisis is all about, is ensuring someone's safety in the short term. But of course, we care about the long term, and there's only so much of a long term impact we are capable of having from our position. But we do have resources that we're able to provide. So as part of safety planning, which is a process of, you know, talking through options for keeping an individual safe and thinking, collaborating with them to think about things that they can do to feel a little bit better or find a little bit of relief. Part of that process at the very end is looking into their history with counseling or therapy, things that are a little more long term, and seeing mm-hmm. if this is something they'd be interested in doing. And we have resources that can connect people to more affordable or more accessible avenues for therapy and other things like that. There are also other hotlines that are a little bit more specific to certain needs, as well as like things like support groups and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the avenues that I'm seeing through the trainings that I'm doing for the youth mental health, is that there is just a lack of knowledge about what resources are available.
Right.
And what are available either low cost or even no cost to people that, you know, if they need somebody, there's probably something we can do, like I said, even short term or long term to help them. So just giving people an education about what they have available to them, because there is actually a lot of resources. I just think the education around them is still lacking. But that's kind of what we're trying to do to help, right?
Totally. Like, I'm so glad that we can be that point for them of like education and knowledge and that person who knows of those resources and can distribute them.
Since you are fully remote, are you on like a team though, whether it's a virtual space, do you have other people that you connect with? Like, hey, I'm logging on and you're logging on. Is there any sort of like team atmosphere, even though you're fully remote?
Totally a team atmosphere. There's a whole crisis team at Centerstone, and I believe that we are all remote. So a lot of them, there's maybe 3 or 4 other AmeriCorps Healthy Minds Alliance members on my team, and then the rest of them are Centerstone employees. And we do have a group chat that we are required to sign into every day. And it's really a great place to just get support, advice from our fellow crisis specialists. And we also have supervision meetings biweekly where the whole team gathers and we can just connect and ask any questions, and we connect with our supervisors as well. So it's a pretty solid team. If you would like to participate in community, it's there.
Now, we touched on the self-care aspect. I imagine that there are times when you are in desperate need of that yourself. Again, I don't want to get personal in anything specific, but what does that look like? Is it a phone call? Is it a video chat? If you have a crisis situation and you just feel like you need someone to talk to, what does that look like through their system?
So that's where the on-call clinical support really does come in handy. And we have a clinical supervisor. She is a licensed therapist and a bunch of other people who are on call who can be there just to chat, you know, about how you're feeling, work through anything. They really are there to just support us. And oftentimes, like even today, I had a particularly difficult chat and I was consulting with my supervisor about kind of best practice around wrapping up. And at the end of the conversation, she said, like, take an hour off. That was a tough one. And so they definitely make sure to implement self-care wherever they can.
That's good to hear. Again, you know, we want people who might want to pursue this as a way to serve and just make sure they know they would be supported on that avenue.
Absolutely.
So 8 months in, 2 months left, if you could look back at a young Lucy who's about to sign up for this program, what advice would you give them?
Well, on the topic of self-care, I would certainly say form a self-care plan right away. I think that we all know the value of self-care, and especially in this position, as you have emphasized. And I just think I didn't quite understand how kind of crucial it would be to have a specific, almost like rigid self-care plan in place. So that's something I would have wanted to do. In terms of other advice, I guess maybe connect a little bit more with my teammates, use the resources that I have. I'm not great at that, but it really is something that I think we need. This is already an isolated position and it's challenging. So maybe just utilize more of the resources available.
Well, again, anyone listening who's thinking about doing this, learn from Lucy. Not that there were mistakes, but these are lessons learned, how we can improve upon it on next time. I can't imagine that you don't walk away from the service term without some sort of, you know, I don't say like, you know, like an epiphany about life, but I have to believe it's changed you in some way. Is there anything that you would think that you're going to take with you, whether it's experience from into your career or just life experience about how you're going to live? I know that's a very broad question, but I can't think of a better way to ask it.
Yeah, I think so many, but what comes to mind right now is just a heightened sense of patience and sensitivity and just a greater understanding. I feel like my service term has really further opened my eyes to the many harsh realities that a given person may be facing at a given time. And I think the invisible nature of many mental health challenges allows for, you know, kind of leads for people to be a little more quiet about what they're going through. And that can inhibit people from reaching out. You know, there's so much shame, there's so much stigma, there's so much isolation surrounding this kind of stuff. So I just think that the more that we create space for people to speak about mental health challenges, the more that we speak about them ourselves, the more that we share our own stories and our own vulnerabilities, I think we're all so much more connected than any of us really realize, especially someone going through something so challenging. So I think we can all contribute to a more tolerant and sensitive and safe space for people struggling with mental health challenges to find support and reach out and get the help that they need. And it just really inspires me to carry that forth along my career path. I have aspirations to work in clinical psychology and also just on a personal level, like check in on the people around you, you know, and just a message to everyone out there, like it's so much easier said than done, but do reach out if you need support because it's out there.
As we bring this week's episode to a close, I just want to once again say thank you to Lucy for joining me today and sharing a little bit about their experiences in this new public health track. I think that work that they're doing there is amazing. It is so desperately needed and valuable. I hope you've enjoyed listening, and I hope that you will join us again next week when we will have another amazing guest on to chat with. As a reminder, if you are interested in becoming a service member or have any questions about serving, or perhaps your organization would like to become a host site, you will find information and links to follow in our show notes. And I would like to add very quickly this week, we have a new email address specifically for this show. So if you have any comments, questions, or concerns and would like to email the show, you may now do so by emailing hmapod@health360.org. So once again, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, or you'd like to email myself or anyone associated with the show, you can use our new email, hmapod@health360.org.